Caitlin, how good you're intelligent. Isn't that great? Isn't that great, great news? Isn't that encouraging? And we will pray for you. Can I encourage you, if that's touched your heart today, you've got a spare few dollars each month, get on that side and support this chapel. I just think we need to get behind this as a church. And I know as a church, we will. We'll see what we can do as a church combined, but if it's something you want to personally do as well, I encourage you to just get involved. That's just good. You're not there by chance. God's put you there. Caitlin, I really just want to agree with Caitlin's word, the sense of what God's saying. You've really got a call on your life, and I believe God's got great things ahead. And we're just excited that it's happening here. And that's great. I want to share today on picking up on that song we sang, all your promises, a yes and amen. Can we all say that again? That just sings with me. Today, all your promises are yes and amen. And I've been meditating on that actually for quite a few weeks, just the whole concept of promise. And we've been doing a series on around faith and how faith is a way that we access the promises of God. And I just thought Ben was to share today. He's a little unwell with the flu, and may the Lord heal him. And when I had to prepare, I thought, look, I'm just going to share about the promises of God, because that's where I've been meditating, adhering on. I'll read you a quote. A lot of promises going around when there's election time, you know. And I should never bring this up in church, but I've even been, you know, I used to. Back a few years ago, when all the elections were on in the US, I was sort of one of these people that were conflicted, you know, between, if you were in America, who would you vote for? And I reckon I probably would have held my nose and voted Trump, you know. And I wonder if in the US, you know, with all that's going on there, there's probably people still hold their nose a little, but, you know, I thought the thing that's kind of working for that guy is he keeps his promises. You know, and there's such, I sort of was thinking about this in lots of play, actions I've gone, lay, with this whole thought around promises. And I was at a funeral, in fact, for, Debbie's got an aunt who is really sad. She got cancer and was quite ill for a year, and her husband, which is Deb's uncle, Deb's mum's brother, really lovely couple. And she passed away, and they had the funeral, which was absolutely packed. And I was really touched because the husband, his name's John, he got up and gave a speech. I don't know how you go doing that after, I don't know, about 48 years of marriage. Got up and gave a speech and honored his wife. And in that, he got them to play a song, I can't stop loving you. I've made up my mind, you know? And I thought, this man made a promise 48 years ago. And he was standing up there honouring his promise and honouring his wife. And I was thinking, just it's somehow it's all a picture of God. You know, I thought the whole thing about promise so encapsulates what God's about. The whole thing we're doing about faith is so connected to the idea of promise. You know, grace, we are a people who believe in the grace of God. You know, a promise is a grace. You know, a promise has come by grace. We don't initiate the promise. God initiates the promise. God made a promise to someone, and that's why we sing about rest. You know, Adrian's saying about rest. We can rest because God's promised it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we just put our faith in it. And I was thinking, you know, marriage is a picture of this. People make a promise and they keep their word. And, you know, so God bless Trump. And whatever happens there, may God be glorified and may he do great things. But talking about other politics, Boris Johnson said, it's easy to make promises, It's hard to keep them. That is the challenge. And Napoleon had some advice for him. He said, best way to keep one's word is not to give it. But that's the truth. If you overpromise and underdeliver, you know, it's not good. But if you underpromise and overdeliver, that does you good. I often have watched me sing a song. I'm not sure which song it is. It's that one of those. It's a song from Bethel, but there's this tag in it, if that's the word, where they keep singing, "You're never gonna let me down. Never gonna let me down," and they keep singing that. And I thought, of course I know God's not gonna let me down. You know, we were getting excited about singing that bit. But I thought, we have a generation today that, in many ways, has been let down. You know, a lot of the things about promise and promise keeping has diminished in our culture. And there's a cry. I think there's a cry in young people's lives for faithfulness. And because of the security it brings, and that's what they're looking. This is a God that will never let me down, and it's just great. I'll read you. This is a little bit patchwork today, so just going to share some verses and share some thoughts. I just want you to think about the promises of God, and we're going to sing that song again. And I'm going to encourage you to lay hold of His promises afresh. Numbers, this is what it says in the book of Numbers. God is not man. So God is not like us. He doesn't go to sleep at night. He doesn't do all those things. God is not man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. You know, God doesn't change his mind. Once he promises something, it's settled. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? You know, God is the ultimate promise keeper. He makes promises, and he keeps them. That excites me. When we were singing that song in one of our prayer meetings a couple of weeks ago, there was such cheer, there was such an excitement. All of his promises are yes and amen. That is the most powerful thing you'll hear. If you can latch on to the fact that God is a promise keeper and he has made a promise and they are yes and amen, it will be powerful for you. God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his character. He's unchanging in his will. What he's planned to do, he will do. And he's unchanging in his promises. This is what faith is about. Faith is not some sort of magic trick. Faith is not, I've got faith, so if I believe strong enough, this thing will happen. No. It doesn't work like that. That's not a formula. It doesn't work like that. Faith is trusting in the promise. There is a promise, and we can have absolute confidence in God's reliability to make good on his promises. If you can find a promise from God for your situation, if you can find a promise in his word that he's declared either to you personally or that he's going to bring to pass, it will happen. Absolutely guaranteed. Because, you know, his track record is absolutely 100%. 100%, he has never failed. We used to grow strawberries here, and we used to do that many years ago when we had a little bit of land. We used to raise a little bit of money for the place, and I used to sell strawberries at the office where I worked, Centrelink. It was really good getting around, and I used to have this little line when people would say, "Oh, can I have them?" Because they'd see them and they'd want them, and they'd say, "Look, I'll pay you later," and I used to say, "In God we trust, the rest pay cash." God, you can trust. You know, God, this is the thing about God. This is the exciting thing about God. He makes promises and he keeps them. You can put your faith in him and you can trust him. You know, faith is just trust. And the power of a people or individual. that you're hearing from God, getting a promise from God, putting their trust in Him, you know, opens up, it just opens up a world of promises. If God is the source of the promise, there are no conceivable circumstances that can prevent God making good on His promise. There's nothing that can be thrown against Him. It is guaranteed. If you look at ancient Greek literature, which I haven't, but I did read this, there's many accounts, they say, of people making promises to a god. That's usually how it worked in most cultures. I don't know, it might have worked over in where Josh was from. And many gods, say Josh. And I'm sure they bowed before certain gods and idols and they made promises to that god. I will do this, I will do this. And God will come good for them. I can remember being on the back of a motorbike when I was 19 years of age, stoned, and the guy driving the bike at 90 miles an hour was under the influence of something he shouldn't have been, and he got some idea that we were being chased by the police, and he started to take off at that speed. I gripped with every bit of strength I had onto that bike, and I started to say, God, I will do anything. I'll become a priest. Just get me out of here. So, you know, I was willing to make a promise, you know? And maybe God helped me to that. A couple of years down the track, he said, hang on, I've got a promise here. But we experience something much more radical with our God. Our God, He makes promises to men. He makes promises to people. You know, the whole story of the Bible and our salvation and all that else, it is all about a God that decides to make promises. I'll tell you a few. I'm just going to go through a few big promises that God's made good on, just to encourage your confidence and your faith to put your trust in Him even more strongly, or again, put your trust in Him. I thought about Noah. You know, God made some promises to Noah, didn't He? You know, God flooded the earth, judged things, did all that, but He promised He'd never flood the earth again. He signed His promise with a rainbow. You know, and to all our end of the world, climate change fearing people, you know, maybe one or two are in. This is what Genesis says. I will never again curse the ground because of men. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. That's a promise. It's a promise. Go dig up your backyard, plant some sparks, good. You're guaranteed they're going to grow. And God is not going to suddenly wake up tomorrow and think, oh, look, I'm just out with this lot and wipe us out. It's just not going to happen. He has made a promise. He made a promise to Abraham. You know, God made a promise to him to give him two things. He made a promise to give him a son, and He made a promise to give him land. He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. You know, here's a guy, I don't know where the background is, we don't know. Suddenly a guy who's worshipping idols, hears from God, gets a promise. And you know, he acts on the promise of God, and he believes it. He puts his trust in the promise of God, but leaves, and God promises him a land and a son. Somewhere on his journey, the guy gets very, very old. He gets really old. He gets 100 years old. Somewhere even before that, before he's quite that old, he gets out. God pulls him out of his tent one night. You know, because I tell you, the trouble with God's promises, I think, is the delay. You know, this is the thing with God, and this is the thing with faith. Sometimes there's a delay. And in the delay, It's like it tests us and it does something to us and it molds us. And this whole thing of faith is such a great, great thing where we can grow in our faith and we can journey with God. But God drags this guy out of his tent one night and he says, you know, hasn't got a son yet. And he says, look toward heaven and number the stars if you can. If you can. Stewie's got a good telescope. I don't think he's got the number written down anywhere that I know of. And God says to him, so shall your offspring be. I'm not only going to give you one, but I'm going to give you nations and multitudes. And sure enough, at 100 years old, God made good on his promise. And God made good to this guy. Sarah gave birth to a son. You know, God came through and he gave him land. He gave him a tiniest piece of land that became like a fork, like a deposit on the promised land. And 400 years later, exactly to what he promised, out of Egypt came his descendants by a miracle, passing through a Red Sea where the waters were piled up side by side, and they walked through, and eventually they got into a promised land. You know, God comes good on his promises. If there's a promise from God, it's guaranteed. There's nothing that can stand against it. Once it's out of God's mouth, once he's made it to you, it's good. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. And this is what Joshua said when he went into the land. This is the kind of language that the Bible speaks in. It says, not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. Not one thing has failed. This is how God works. He makes a promise and he comes good. I'm making a trip to Israel in May. I'm really looking forward to that. Just going to have a little bit of a jaunt over into Jesus's little neighborhood where he grew up and have a look around. But, you know, I was reading a book about them the last few weeks, and again, I was just amazed how God is good for his word. He's good on his promises. Here we are. I mean, I really don't know all the theology and the eschatology and all of this, and there's lots of views around in there, but somehow, as I've grown up and look at Israel today, something in me looks at that and says, after 2,000 years of being dispersed around the world, after the most catastrophic thing that could ever happen to them in World War II, where 6 million were killed, here they are, the Jewish people find themselves regathered in their ancient homeland, re-established as a nation with their ancient capital. They've survived numerous wars when every nation in their neighborhood has been against them. Now they need to know Jesus. You know, there's no salvation outside of him. But somehow God, I just look at it, you know, the whole world is almost against them. They're opposed by the UN time and time again. But somehow we are witnessing, I feel, the fulfillment of a promise. God comes good on it. God has not let them down. He still has something he's doing, still has a plan, and he's working towards that. I look at the story of David. David, I look at him, you know, as a young boy. He gets called by God, he gets anointed as king, and he gets promises made to him. And years might have went by, but God comes good on his promises. There's testings and there's trials, but God fulfills every word that he promised to David. I love the story when David is sitting in his palace one night, and he just is overcome with his love for God and what God's done. And he starts to dream about building a house for God. He wants to build a temple. He wants to build a place of pleasure. I mean, this is what's in this guy's heart. And God sends a prophet to him and says to him, you want to build me a house? You know, don't worry about that. He said, I want to build you a house. And he just chooses this guy and says to him, out of his line, there will never fail to be a king sitting on the throne of Israel. And out of his line will come the Messiah. You know, and the whole story here is just God making promises after promises after promises and coming good on it. God never fails. I thought about what we're experiencing today. Those of us that know Jesus, we've experienced a new covenant. The new covenant we have, it was a promise. It was a promise that the prophets spoke about. This is what Jeremiah said. He said, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The promise was of a future where their ability to keep the law wasn't going to be any more in their own strength, but it was going to be through the gift of the promise of the Spirit coming into their lives, that they would be able to walk in His ways. I just think God makes promise after promise. There's one that's called the promise of the Father. Now, this must be a good one if it's coming right from the top. And the disciples were told, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise. And on the day of Pentecost, everybody got drunk. Or at least that's how it looked. And Peter said they were not drunk. He said, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Some translations would say, this is that. You know, this is the fulfillment of the promise. Where Joel said, I will pour in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. In Acts, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And this is the promise. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. It's a promise. The gift of the Holy Spirit, which many of us enjoy and are blessed with, it's a gift. It's for all. And it's for now. It's a promise. Take it to the bank. Present yourself to God. It is for everyone. It's not just waiting out there in some time. I can remember I grew up as a Catholic. I heard a lot about God. I don't know how much of God I really experienced. But when my dad experienced the promise of the Holy Spirit and he came home through getting involved in the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church, and he was in his bedroom meeting with God each day before I went off to uni, and I was a pot-smoking uni student, lapsed Catholic, and I heard him talking in tongues and praising God in a language that he either invented, or there was something strange going on there, or he was on better drugs than what I was on, something. But it rattled my cage, and I tell you, as a Catholic boy, it made me thirsty, because I knew about the day of Pentecost, and I knew that something happened back then. But I tell you, there is a promise here. There's a promise here that it's for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It is a promise to every one of us. You know, I take that to the bank. I see no conceivable a barrier that can be put up that will hinder the delivery of that gift for any person who believes in Jesus. I thought about the victory we have. The victory we have over sin. The victory we can have that we can sin no longer has dominion over us. We have, you know, sure we fail at times and there's provision, but we have a promise that we can have victory over sin. And it all goes back to probably the very first promise. It says after the fall, it says when God turned up and had a talk to the serpent, he said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head. This thing's going to be crushed one day. This thing's going to be crushed. And it happened at Calvary. It happened at the cross. And Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of every promise that God has made. And that's why it says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. You know, God says yes. God says yes to every promise. One of the most exciting promises that thrills me is the promise of his return. You know, I think we can lose the excitement of that. Excitement that, you know, I'm not saying that Jesus could come back tomorrow. I think there's probably a lot of things got to occur. But I tell you, things can happen fast. And he could come back anytime. One thing I know, he's promised, he's coming, he's left, and he will return. It says, when they watched him go up, this is what the angel said. It says, this Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven. Just as he went up, so he'll come back. He's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. He's even told us where he'll come. I tell you, it'd be good to be there that day. It'd be good to be there. Maybe May. Who knows? One thing I know, it's a promise, and nothing will stop it happening. Nothing will stop it. And Peter says there will be scoffers in the last day. And this, you know, they use this word all the time. They'll say, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? What nonsense do you Christians believe? What? You just hold on to words in a book. Who even knows if God sent them? You know, it's the same old story. Scoffers. But Peter goes on and says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There's a delay, but there's a purpose in the delay. And he wants as many to be reached. He wants them reached at Tullawong schools. He wants them reached where you're working. He wants them reached in Caboolture. He wants our nation to turn to God. He wants to reach as many as he can. And his only reason for his delay is that he can reach more. And that needs to be our heart. We are sustained. We are kept going. We are able to endure because of the promises of God. I tell you, get a promise in your heart, you'll go through anything. You'll do anything. The promises of God have always given hope to God's people. This is what it says in Psalms. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Now, there's plenty of Christians going through plenty of affliction in many parts of the world. But it says this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. If you've got a promise in your heart, you can endure anything. Because you've got something, you know, an eternal perspective that, you know, I might be in this world, but I'm not of this world. You know, there's verses and there's things, the idea that we're just passing through, those many things that keep us going. Just think about Joseph. God gave promises to a 17-year-old, maybe a young lad, Joseph. Gave him dreams. Gave him dreams of his brothers bowing down to him. And gave him dreams of his parents bowing down to him. And his dreams got him into trouble. His dreams caused him pain. And he winds up as a slave in someone's house in a foreign land. Winds up even worse than that, he winds up in prison for a few years. But the promises, I reckon the promises sustain him. God spoke to him and they kept him. They kept him. This is what it says. It says, until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord, the promise, it tested him. It did something in me. If we will hang on to the promise of God, it will mold us, it will shape us, and it will do something in us. I thought, we come to church. You know, one of the most exciting kind of songs that excites me is songs about the faithfulness of God. Yeah. I mean, we've been singing a song lately called God. God is so good. Is that the title? It says, all my life you've been faithful. I tell you, the older you get, the more richer a song like that is. You just reflect back and you think, God, I see your hand here and here and here and here. I might have slipped here, I might have been here, I might have mucked it up here and there, but God, you've been faithful. You gave me a promise and you delivered and you brought me through. And there's something about promise and the faithfulness of God that brings worship out of our hearts. Brings worship out of our hearts. This is what it says in Psalms. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. I thought promises are prophetic. You know? By their very nature, a promise from God is a voice of prophecy. It's something prophetic that God speaks. And you can hang on to it. I thought about Jeremiah when they were captives in Babylon. This is what Jeremiah says. He says, for thus says the Lord. This, you know, in the midst of what they're going through, God says, this is what I've got to say. And he's got a promise for them. He says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, there was a young man in captivity with this crowd, and I tell you what, his name was Daniel, and he took a little note of that promise and he put it in the calendar in his phone, and he marked the 70 years. And he put it on his to-do list to, okay, at that point, maybe I'll backtrack six months or a year, and I will pray, and I will pray. And Daniel said, this is what he said. He said, I perceived in the books a number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. This guy knew what God was going to do, knew what the promise was, and he got engaged. He got involved with it, and he started to pray. I thought, there's such power in hearing from God, knowing what he's saying, knowing what the promises of God are, and getting involved with what God is doing, because you know it's going to happen. God's going to come good on it. You know, this is what faith is, not finding something abstract that I want to have faith for. Faith is faith in someone. Faith is, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are you working? What do you want to do? God's always, you know, we read this and we know God's always about, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we just find promise after promise what God's doing. And we attach our faith and our trust to that. And God comes good. We are called. This is what we're called for. This is our calling in life. to trust in the promises of God. This is our part. The promises are grace and they're rest, but our part is simply to trust and to believe and to act on those promises. True fidelity to God, true love for God, if we declare we love God, true love for God is to live our lives in the hope of God's promises. When God gives a promise, he's looking for trust in his promise. He's looking for faith. He's looking for us to trust him. In Psalms it says about Israel when they didn't believe him, didn't go into the land when he asked them to, it says, then they despised the pleasant land. They despised the promise. It says, having no faith in his promise. They had no faith in his promise. They moaned in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness, and he would make their offsprings fall among the nations, scattering them among the lands. A whole generation missed out on a promise because they did not trust his word. This is the power of faith, placing our trust, our confidences in the promises of God. This is how we inherit the promises, isn't it? You know, we are inheritors of the promises. And the promises of God are not nice verses just to put up on a wall, a plaque. There's something he's given to us for us to reach out for. Hebrews it says, do not throw away your confidence. There's something about our confidence, our trust, our faith in a promise from God that will release it for us, and there's power in it. And the writer to these people says, don't throw that away. It says, which has a great reward. There's something attached to that. The confidence in the promises of God has a great reward. It said, you have need of endurance. Just keep going. Keep trusting. Keep believing. So that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. It is by faith and endurance that we inherit promises. It says as well to the Hebrews, it says, good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them. The promise they were given did not benefit them. We can all have the same promises, but it will not benefit us. It says, because they were not united by faith. They were not mixed with faith. We have to put our faith, our trust in the promises. Like to finish, maybe the team would come and sing that song once more again. And I'm just going to read to you the father of faith, a little account of him. Paul puts him up as our example. I've got it here. It says, the promise realized through faith. The promise becoming a reality through faith. This is what it says about Abraham. It says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, when he considered the circumstances he was facing, which was as good as dead. 100 years old. I guess he woke up some days and he thought, I'm just about as good as dead, you know? But it says he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. He woke up and he knew how he felt, but he looked over at Sarah and he thought, this is not going to work, you know? He thought, this is not possible. But this is what it says. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. In spite of everything he could see, in spite of every circumstance and the way he felt, in spite of everything, this man did not waver concerning only one thing. It wasn't like he had faith for all sorts of mad things. He had faith for one thing. One thing that God had given him as a promise. God was going to give him a son. It says, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. He looked at his circumstances, and he just grew stronger because he did not waver in the promise of God. He said, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. You know, righteousness is probably the most greatest thing God could give us. Think back to the day you got saved and you knew every sin that you'd done was forgiven. That you were suddenly, you'd been carrying guilt, and suddenly you were right before God. Suddenly you were completely clean, completely righteous. How did that happen? It happened because you put your faith in a promise. You put your faith in Jesus. And I'm just overcome with the thought that all of his promises are yes and amen. Whatever it is, you know, promises can be very personal too, you know. God can speak to us and we know he spoke to us. He wants us to hang on to promises. What promises has God spoken to you? Are there promises that you've not mixed with faith? That you've let, maybe you've thrown away your confidence. Maybe you've thought, look, maybe I was just exaggerating that one. Maybe I was dreaming. I went for a while on that promise, but look, I probably ate too much pizza. You know, or something. We're so quick to doubt ourselves. We're so quick to throw away our confidence. You know, we weigh, and I speak this to myself, we weigh unbelief too lightly. You know, we think, oh, well, that's unbelief. God's not too worried. No. Righteousness, the greatest gift came because of man and faith in the promises of God. An entire generation was excluded from the promised land because of unbelief. We should not excuse our lack of trust in God too quickly. He will never fail in his promises. Let's lay hold of them again. Let's lay hold of the promises God has for us, the plans he has for us. He wants to speak promises to you today. When you get up tomorrow and read this book, he wants to speak promises to you. They might have been for Abraham, they might have been for Sarah, they might have been for David, they might have been for Joseph, they might have been for all these people. But I tell you, they are for me too. They're for me because he did it for them. He's good for his word. God has promises for us and he has plans for us. Today, let's be reminded. All his promises are yes and amen. I just invite you, can we stand and sing it once more? I just want to see promises resurrected this morning. What you've let die, come to life. Let's not let go of a promise from God. You know, we need them when we're in our darkest hour. We need promises like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We need promises like, he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. You know, we need to hold on to the promises of God. Let's sing it with Kim and the team again. Let's lay hold of the promises of God. Maybe you want to even come out, just declare something. Just resurrect the promise. Just get someone to agree with you. Declare it. Let's see the power of God here this morning. Jesus, love you.